Talk to you about a subject that's very dear and near to my heart. It's one of my hobbies. As some of you may know, I like hunting, specifically deer hunting. So that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk to you about deer hunting. And the question I put before you this evening is, are you hunting for God? That's the question. And I want to look at what I believe are parallels between that question, the aspects of hunting, and the gospel. If you talk to any good deer hunter, he will tell you that there is a process in which he follows to determine where he will be hunting. Any deer hunter worth his salt will not go out and find a tree and say, oh, this looks good. He's going to do a couple steps. And those are the steps I would like to talk to you about tonight. The first being what I call scouting or searching. And one of the first things he looks for is a sign. If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And we're not going to read any, I don't think, from Matthew chapter 8. But if you look through Matthew chapter 8, 9 and Matthew 8, 9 and 14, you will see a wave of signs and miracles and wonders which Jesus did to declare that he was the Son of God. We as Christians, or people that want to be Christians, have to look at the signs. If we ignore the signs, there are not going to be any other signs given. That is taken from Matthew chapter 12, if you would turn over there. Matthew chapter 12. Starting in verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. No sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish. So will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she shall come from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater one than Solomon is here. If we do not consider the signs and the wonders which has been written down in this book, there's not going to be any other signs or wonders given. They're all here. We're not going to have some feeling about, oh, God touched me today. We have to look at the Word and see what it says. See the miracles done. That's the only way we're going to find the signs that are there. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 and 17. Now, I know there were some that did not see this, but for those that did see it and that were there, if this wasn't enough of a sign for them, if this isn't enough of a sign for us, I don't know what else is. And it's starting in verse 13, and Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, thus that it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed it. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. and a lightning upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There will be no other sign given. Jesus has come, he's lived, and he's died." Secondly, under searching, a good deer hunter looks for paths. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, a very familiar verses there. It talks about the narrow way and the wide way. The narrow way and the wide way. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there be many that go by it. Because the narrow way is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and few be that find it." We're searching for the path. It's not going to be a big two-lane road, okay? It might be 10 inches wide. But if we're there and we look for it, we can see it. We can find it. So we have to look for the path. In Luke chapter 5. If you remember the story, it's Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and they're out. They've been out fishing, and they've been fishing all night. And they've brought, they've come in and brought their nets. And Jesus comes, and he stops, and he says, in verse 4. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets." And if you go on later, the boat fills so much with fish, or the net fills so much with fish, that they have to call out their partners, which are James and John. If you skipping down to verse 10, and so as they were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon, and said to them, "Do not be afraid, for now I will make you catchers of men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all, and they followed him. We have to choose a path. Matthew 16. If we turn back over to Matthew. Matthew 16. Jesus is talking to his disciples here, and starting in verse 24, and he asked them to choose what path you will go. And Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or for what will a man give it in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in glory of his Father with his angels, and he will reward each according to his works." Jesus is asking us, will we follow his path? Will we take up our cross and follow after him? The next thing that a hunter does when he's looking for a place to hunt, he determines his food source and water supply. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. In the first part of John chapter 6, we had the feeding of the 5,000. We go on down. We have Jesus walking on the sea. And starting in verse 22, Jesus starts talking about the bread from heaven. Specifically in... let's start in verse 25. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come?" And he answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me because you saw the signs, because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for food which perishes, but labor for food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." And let's skip on down to starting in verse 30. "Therefore he said to them, 'What signs will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What works will you do?' 'Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.' And then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give them the bread from heaven, but my Father gave them the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who came down from heaven and gives life to the world.' And then they said to him, 'Lord, give us this bread always.' And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet not believed. All that my Father gives you will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven on my own, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. For this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given, I shall lose nothing, but shall rise up in the last day. And I will send, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees me, sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and will raise him up in the last day." So we see here that the Lord is the bread from heaven. He is our food source. His word is our food source. If we don't have his word, if we're not in his word, if we're not studying his word, our food source is gone. We have no food source. So we need to be studying. We need to be feeding on our food that he has given us. If we skip on down to verse 48, "I am the bread of life," he says it again. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. For I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." And it goes on, some of those that were there believe he was talking about his flesh, that he was talking about cannibalism. But he's not. He's talking about feasting on what he has given us, his word, the word of God. So that's the three main things a hunter looks for. But when he finds those three things, he has to consider the evidence. If we look at John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. A real familiar passage. John writes, "And truly Jesus did many other signs and many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing in him, you might have life." So we looked at the signs. We've looked at the past. We've looked at our food source. The question is, will you believe the evidence? John 20, backing up in verse 24. If you'll scoot back up there. More evidence. "And now Thomas, called the twin of one of the twelve, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, and the door being shut, he stood in the midst, and he said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your fingers here. Look my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing.' For Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Thomas said to him, or Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen, you have believed. You have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, but yet believed.'" Through his scriptures, we can see what Thomas saw. We can believe by reading it. And if we can do that, we are blessed. Blessed. We have to consider the evidence. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." We have to have faith. We have to believe in his written word, our food. Well, and like anything, just like when we have a trial, we consider the evidence, but we also consider the testimony. The testimony that is given in Acts chapter 14, or Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Starts there in verse 14. And what happens here is, as many of you probably remember, Peter stands up after the crowd has accused the men of being drunk. And he preaches from the Old Testament. And then he gives the parallels. And he goes on to tell them that they crucified the Son of God. Okay? If we skip over to chapter 4. Skip over to chapter 4. Starting in the first part of chapter 4. Peter and John are arrested for preaching the Word of God. For preaching the testimony of the things which they have seen and heard. And they go on to say, if we go on down to verse 13. And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the men who had been healed standing with them, they could not say anything against them. But when they commanded them to go aside out of the council and confer among themselves, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done through them, and is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no farther among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they should not speak in the name of this man." So they called them and commanded them to no longer speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. But we cannot speak the things which we have seen and heard." So they further threatened them and let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what he had done. The evidence was there. Peter referred to it, and he gave testimony on it. Through the book of Acts, Peter, the other apostles, Stephen, we find the testimony of those men who were willing to die for the cause of Christ. Are you willing to follow the evidence and believe the testimony? Well, if you're willing to go that far, and you've gone that far, then it requires action. First, it requires a decision. Acts 2, verses 36 through 39. This is what we were just looking at a moment ago. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And then Peter said to them, 'Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, that you should receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" If you flip over to Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. This is the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. And an angel comes to Philip, and he sends Philip to preach to this man. And when he comes on the chariot, he overtakes it. And the place in Scripture where the Ethiopian was we know as Isaiah. And he started there and preached to him. And it required him to make a decision. Let's skip down to verse 34. "So the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I ask you, of whom does this the prophet say this, of himself or some other man?' But Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?' And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said to him, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So they commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he was baptized. He had to make a decision of what he was going to do with the evidence, with the testimony he was given. What are you going to decide to do tonight? You have to make a commitment as part of your action. A commitment to what? You have to make a commitment to Christ. Again, in this verse, if we look at what we just read, verses 37 and 38, he asked what hinders him. His confession is recorded in verse 38, and he said, and he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he went down into the water, and he made his commitment by being baptized. Same thing in Acts 2 and verse 38 and 39. The next part of acting is being prepared. We know the first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as the Gospels. And we read the stories, and we read the evidence, and we read the testimony, and we see the pattern, and we see the food. And it was all done to prepare his apostles. It was done to prepare us for a place for which we should go. We look in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. For the sake of time, we'll skip down to verse 45. And when he rose up from praying and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, Why do you sleep? Arise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. We have to be prepared because trials are coming. Matthew 26. Verses 36 through 46 is another example of this. We'll read verses 40 and 41. And Jesus came to his disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "What, could you not even watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We have to prepare. When I go hunting, the night before, Christopher can attest to this because he's been with me. I will get out all my stuff. I will lay it out, make sure I got clothes I'm going to wear, my safety harness. I'm not getting in a tree without a safety harness. That's just silly. Make sure I got my instrument, what I'm using to go deer hunting with, bow or a gun. But I make sure I'm prepared for the next day. If I'm not prepared, then I might not get what I'm wanting to get. I have to be prepared. The next step is you go hunting. And in hunting, as some of you know that are hunters, there's a lot of watching and waiting. If you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 25, which Christopher read, so we won't reread that. But in Matthew chapter 25, as he read, that's about Jesus coming. And what they were guilty, what the five unprepared people were guilty of is they weren't watching and waiting. They hadn't been diligent in what they should be doing. I find myself a lot of times not watching and waiting like I should be. Are we watching and waiting for Jesus is coming? Luke 15. Luke 15, the parable of the lost son. And the example I want us to see here is the father knew that his son was wrong. And it said, don't want to read all of that. Can't find the verse I wanted to read. But the point I had there was that the father was watching and waiting for his son to return. There's sometimes as we live our lives that we stray. Jesus is watching and waiting for us to return. He's pleading with us. The parable of the lost sheep, same thing. Jesus is watching and waiting for us to return. Hence, that we should be watching and waiting for his return. Because he is coming. He is coming. Well, finally, after we watch and wait, if we're lucky enough, we get a shot. And there's only two options here. We either hit the target or we miss the mark. We won't take the time to look at all these. The book of Acts is filled with people that hit the mark, but it's also it also has people that miss the mark. A lot of the disciples there, to name a few: Peter, Paul, Stephen. These are men that I believe hit the mark. Are we hitting the mark? People that miss the mark. And we will read one of these. Judas. Solomon. The rich young ruler. Matthew chapter 23 is all about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Woe to you. Woe to you. Are we missing the mark? Is that chapter written to us? Is Matthew chapter 23 written to us? Are we watching and waiting? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing to hit the target? Let's turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. The rich young ruler, starting in, we'll start in verse 21. And he said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Come, follow me." But when he had heard this, he became very sorrowful because he was very wealthy. Are there things that are getting in our way that are causing us to miss the mark? Our wealth, our pride, our desire for lustful things. Are we hitting the mark? Or are we missing it? That's not a question I can answer. That's one we have to answer individually for ourselves. If we get the shot we want, hopefully we will receive the reward. Our reward as a Christian is heaven. It's to be with our Father in heaven when the end of life comes. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Are we diligently seeking God? 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Verses 6 through 8. And I am already being poured out as a drink offering, for the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Philippians 3. Twelve through 21, but for sake of time, we'll start in verse 17. Brethren, join in the following my example, and note those who also walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. For whose end is destruction, whose God is their bellies, and those glories in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we are also eager and eagerly wait for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, that I may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Are we eager to receive that reward? If for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er, rest to our souls will be given on the eternal shore. Are we striving for the prize? The question I asked you to consider tonight was, are you hunting for God? Some of you may be just starting that hunt. If you're here and you're still looking, searching, we would love to help you in any way. We would love to sit down with you and study with you, pray for you, do anything we can do to get you to believe that the Lord is in our Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the only thing that can save your soul. In Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are we seeking first the kingdom of God? Some of us, we began our hunt a long time ago. Have we lost our desire for the prize? The prize is the thing that keeps me coming back year after year hunting. What's in it? What's the prize? The prize is to be at home in heaven with our Lord and Savior one day. If we can help you in any way, come now as we stand and sing.
When Jesus comes to reward his servant.